Indeed, the best speech is the word of the Almighty Lord. The best way of life is the sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of affairs are the prescribed matters, and the worst of affairs are the novelties, the innovated matters. The most noble death is the death of a martyr, and the best of knowledge is that which benefits. The upper hand is better than the lower hand, and the wailing over the dead is from ignorance. The worst of earnings is the earnings of a riba. The worst of food is eating the inheritance of the orphan. The worst of reports are those which are lies. Abusing a Muslim is wickedness. Killing him is kufr, and backbiting him is eating his flesh alive. He who is patient in calamities, Allah Ta'ala will turn his affairs, making it aright. He who is proud of himself, who loves himself, Allah Ta'ala will debase him. He who does acts to be seen by man, to be heard by man, to be known by man, Allah Ta'ala will make it known of him. He who obeys shaitan indeed disobeys the Almighty Lord, and he who disobeys Allah Ta'ala, he will punish him. Know, dear creatures, that the most exalted of conversation speeches is to speak only about the Almighty Lord, and to have less of that which satisfies one's need is better than to have plenty one cannot control. The best provision for the hereafter is not the gathering of this world. It is not the material of this world. It is not houses, cars, nor is it clothes or money. It is indeed righteousness, piety. Suspicion is a branch of apostasy. Wine is the source of all evil. He who pardons his brothers and sisters, Allah Ta'ala will pardon you on the day, wallahi, you will need to be pardoned on the day of retribution, on a day of judgment. Cursed is he who points a knife at his brother. And this means, dear brothers and sisters, not just pointing a knife by pointing a weapon at your brother. You can point a knife with your tongue by slandering him, by abusing him, by cursing him, by hurting him with your tongue. This is likewise pointing a weapon at your brother. And this person is cursed if he does any such things. Likewise, cursed are those men who resemble the ladies, and the ladies who resemble the woman. Cursed is he who commits those filthy, disgusting, abominated, filthy, dirty acts of homosexuality. Wa'audhu billah. Cursed is he who slanders his parents. Cursed is he who slanders the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. Cursed is the tattooer and the tattooed, the plucker of the eyebrow and the one that gets it plucked, the connector of the hair and the one that gets it connected. Cursed is he who places a tattoo on his body and the one that makes it, the tattooer himself. Cursed is the leader of the accursed, the Satan himself, and every single one that fights Islam, hates Islam, every single one that mocks at Islam, wallahi, they are accursed. They are cursed in the book of the Almighty Lord and on the tongue of no other than our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The most gracious, most merciful, rose over his throne in a way that suits his majesty and glory. He is indeed the first, the last, the most high and the most near. He is the knower of everything. Lord of the seven heavens, Lord of the seven earths, the spitter of the seed and the seed stone. Know, dear creatures, that there is nothing in the likeness of the Almighty Lord, nor is there anything comparable or partner to him. The world that we are living in today is full of mottos and slogans, which is full of laws and systems that man has established, claiming that they have achieved equality and freedom. Claiming that they have achieved, this is man, equality and freedom. However, wallahi, the only freedom in the life of this world and in the life of the next is through the implementation, of La ilaha illallah. The only freedom that you could ever succeed in, if you want salvation in this life and the next, is through the implementation of La ilaha illallah and no other. The declaration of faith is the only key to success. Wallahi it is. And this was the point of departure of which our beloved Prophet Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam began his journey of Tawheed. These little words of two phrases broke all bonds, severed all ties, except those of faith, of love for Allah Ta'ala, and of brotherhood in His cause. Ties that transcend, wallaha, all considerations of caste, color, and race. Ties that transcend all considerations of caste, color, and race. We say Muslims. We say we love Islam. When you're asked, what are you? You say, I am a Muslim. We hear this all the time. We must realize, dear brothers and sisters, this is a mighty word. It's a word that you have taken it as an entrustment. You will be asked, when you said you are a Muslim, how you performed, what you performed, when you performed. No one is allowed to say he is a Muslim until he also declares enmity to all those that hate Islam, fight Islam, all those that hate our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all those that hate the Muslims. This is not my saying. This is not one of your sayings. This is not any shaykh, scholar, imam, madhab. This is not the saying of a mortal being. This is the saying of the Almighty Lord in His uncreated word in Surah Al-Mujadilah, verse 22. لا تجد قوما يؤمنون بالله واليوم الآخر يوادون من حاد الله ورسوله ولو كانوا آباءهم أو أبناءهم أو إخوانهم أو عشيرتهم. You shall never ever find, Allah is saying to you, you shall never ever find those who believe in Allah and His Prophet, loving, showing mercy, befriending, having sympathy to those who deny the Almighty Lord Allah Ta'ala and His beloved Prophet. Even if they were your fathers, your sons, your brothers, or your nearest of kin. However, what we are witnessing today, worldwide, especially in the so-called developed countries, Australia, America, Europe, in those so-called first world countries, those who consider themselves as being, tabarakallah, we are highly intellectuals, technology, highly developed, with evil and mischief. The Muslims living in such countries, they have become so relaxed, so comfortable, that they are no longer aware of those qualities, you, O Muslim, that distinguishes you as being a Muslim from non-Muslims. Wallahi, many of those who live in the so-called Western civilized lands, developed countries, their faith has become so weak that they have adopted patterns of behavior which is absolutely offensive, repugnant to a sincere believer. This is a great catastrophe. This is a great affliction, calamity. It is a violation of the Islamic teachings. The adoption, the resemblance of the etiquettes and traditions of non-Islamic culture, which we are, the majority of us, drowned in disbelief. Drowned in disbelief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us severely against following, copying, imitating, resembling the ways of non-Muslims, of the unbelievers. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam indicated it as being a minor sign of the approaching hour, as Muhammadun ibn Abdullah or ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimuhullah ta'ala collected the hadith of Abdul Rahman ibn Sakhr Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, La takumu sa'ah hatta ta'khudha ummati bi'akhdhi al-quruni qablaha shibran bi shibrin wa dhira'an bi dhira'. فَقِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الْفَارِسَ وَالْرُومِ قَالَ وَمَنَ النَّاسُ إِلَّا أُولَاكَ. This nation, or the hour, will not be established until this nation, Ummatu Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will copy, will imitate, will resemble the nations, the previous nations before it. So close, it will be a span by a span, cubit by a cubit, in other words, inch by inch. They asked, O Prophet of Allah, do you mean to say that we will copy the Persians and the Romans? He said, who else but them? Likewise, Bukhari collected the hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, that he said, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hour will not be established until my nation, my ummah, my followers, will follow the nations before them, span by span, cubit by cubit. So much so, he said, if they enter the hole of a sand lizard, a hole, a small hole of a sand lizard, if they enter it, the kuffar, you, O Muslim, will follow them. Isn't this witness today? They said, O Prophet of Allah, do you mean to say that we will follow the Jews and Christians? He said, whom else? He said, whom else? As you can see, the terms used by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, span by span, cubit by cubit, inch by inch, even the hole of a sand lizard, reflects, clearly indicates the strong influence of the Jews and Christians upon the Muslims. That's why in every prayer we say a very important verse, a dua, اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Oh Allah, guide us to the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored, not the path of those who have earned your wrath, those Jews, nor the path of those who deviated, who are misguided, the Christians. You are saying this in your prayer every single day, yet at the same time, a lot of people contradict this verse, and when they say it, by applying, imitating, resembling, copying the ways of those people. You're saying, keep me away, yet you are doing it. You are following them. You are loving them. You want to be like them. Yet you say, oh Allah, keep me away from them. A mere contradiction. A mere contradiction. The reason, the wisdom behind the prohibition of imitating the kuffar and the commanding us to differ from them is very clear. Because when you follow them outwardly, it will lead to following them inwardly, thus it will result to you following them in their morals and their actions. And wallahi, after that, the ultimate destruction. The ultimate destruction. You will fall abyss in the hands of the friends of the devil, and you are not even aware of it. Wallahi, you will fall abyss in the hands of the friends of the devil, and you are not even aware of it. It's a minor sign that has appeared. A minor sign. Thus, when you fall in the hands of the friends of the devil, Allah has warned you against this. He has warned you against this repeatedly in His word. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَتَّخِذُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَ أَوْلِيَاءَ Why? بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ Oh, you who believe. Now you believe, listen to Allah's verse. Listen to His word. He is talking to you. You are living in the West. You are in Australia. This applies to you especially, to all the Muslims. Oh, you who believe, take not the Jews and Christians as awliya. Take not the Jews and Christians as friends, supporters, aiders, protection. Why? Because they are but awliya to one another. And then Allah says clearly, if you do so, then you are surely one of them. If you take them as awliya, supporters, helpers, guardians, then you are with them. You are exactly the same. You are like them. لا يتخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقى. Let not the believers take the non-Muslims, the disbelievers, as awliya, instead of the believers. And whoever does so, then he will never ever be helped by Allah Ta'ala in any way. And I'm really sure you're all familiar with the greatest example, the father of prophets, Ibrahim alayhi salam, the friend of the most gracious, most merciful, Khalil Rahman. Allah Ta'ala made him an example to the last second of this life. قَدْ كَانَتْ لَكُمْ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ فِي إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهِ إِذْ قَالُوا لِقَوْلِهِمْ إِنَّا بُرَآءُ مِنْكُمْ وَمِمَّا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ والبغضاء أبدا حتى تؤمنوا بالله وحده. Beautiful example. Indeed, Allah says, translated, there is an excellent example for you in whom? In Ibrahim and those with him, when they said to their people, we are innocent, we are free from you, to the people. And that which you worship instead of Allah Ta'ala, we have rejected you. They have not befriended them. They have rejected them. Why? And he said, there has arisen hatred, enmity in our hearts. In our hearts. Until you return back to Allah Ta'ala and worshiping Him alone. In Ibrahim alayhi salam understood Al-Wala'u wal-Bara'. Ibrahim alayhi salam understood La ilaha illallah. He knew what it meant. He did not say, I'm a Muslim, and then sat down and had a cup of alcohol with his kafir friend. Nor did he go out partying, I'm a Muslim. And you're dancing with a non-Muslim girl, dancing, discoing, I'm a Muslim. No, I'm a Muslim. I'm a Muslim. You go past his car, all you hear is the intensity, you have to box your ears on the music. I'm a Muslim. I'm a Muslim. This is a very, very important word. If you are a Muslim, submit. You are submitting yourself to Allah Ta'ala. That's what a Muslim means. To submit to His oneness with absolute obedience to His law. This is what a Muslim is. Al-Wala, Ibrahim alayhi salam understood it. It means a manifestation of sincere love and loyalty only to the Almighty Lord, His Prophet, and the believers. And the believers, not the kuffar, love and loyalty to Allah, the Prophet, and the believers. Well, al-bara' means an expression of hatred and enmity to falsehood and its adherents. And believe me, not many Muslims today on the face of this earth have a clue, have an idea of the meaning of al-wala'u wal-bara'. Many, many, many Muslims have twisted the words around, the scenario around. They have given al-wala' to the non-Muslims by befriending, loving, caring, assisting, supporting them, while they have given al-bara' to the Muslims by displaying enmity, disparaging their character, degrading them. In Allah Ta'ala, are we not the slaves of the Almighty Lord? Do we not say La ilaha illallah? Allah Ta'ala instructed all of us to love, to assist, to take care, to support one another, to be awliya to one another. We must strengthen this structure of ours strongly. Let us make it unbreakable, untouchable by the kuffar. Let our feelings, our aims, our thoughts, our aqidah, our principles, our methods, our traditions, our habits be united. This will bring us solidarity. We are one sect. We are one group. We are one Islam. Not to one Islam, as our beautiful brother Subhi mentions it in his cassettes. One Islam, that's all we are. And wallahi, our love and loyalty is only to Allah Ta'ala, His Messenger, and the believers. This will give us great strength, unbreakable strength, and will give us most of all the support, the assistance, the protection, and the love from Allah Ta'ala. And believe me, brothers and sisters, the kuffar know the danger this lies. Wallahi, they know the danger this unity poses to them. For this they are working and working and working to destroy, to weaken our iman. They are seeking the erosion, the destruction of this unique character. But as long as we work together, as long as we are one group, as long as we connect strongly, structure this beautiful image of ours, and not imitate those kuffar, not love those kuffar, not befriend the kuffar, not follow the kuffar, not copy the kuffar. Let us be Muslims, inwardly, outwardly. Let us eat like Muslims, drink like Muslims, look like Muslims, appear like Muslims, dress like Muslims, sleep like Muslims, walk like Muslims, sit like Muslims. We are Muslims. We are not kuffar. Do not try to be a kuffar. Be a Muslim because you are a Muslim. You are a Muslim. So be a Muslim. Do not try to want to be like them in anything. They're on the path of the devil, while you're on the path of paradise. Yet you desire to be like them. Isn't that a mere contradiction? However, how many of our brothers and sisters have fallen into the traps of the enemy? How many of our brothers and sisters have fallen, sad to say, into the traps of the enemies? There are many out there that have accepted their kufr, that have even doubted in their kufr, that have even refrained from calling them kuffar, that has even praised the kufr. A sister said to me the other day that John Paul Pope II, A'udhu billah minhu, is a Muslim. I said, what? Because he's a Muslim. He's only hiding it. People love him. People love the devil and they follow the devil. Are they Muslims? How many people have reverted or sought guidance from the kafar when it comes to matters of dispute than going and seeking guidance from Islam? How many people have inclined towards them, relied on them, and used them for support? How many of us, unfortunately, have aided and supported the kafar against the Muslims? Look at Saudi Arabia. They're using their base. America, the biggest terrorist on earth, it's using Saudi base, Qatar base, Bahrain base, Kuwait base, and all the Arab bases to hit the Muslims. SubhanAllah. How many people have joined the members of society? How many people have joined their parties? How many people are serving in their forces, whether it is armed forces, the army, the air force, or the police force? And they're Muslims, and they're serving in those kufr forces. I'm a policeman, I'm a big shot. When he has to bow and say, I say whatever the Queen says. Gives full allegiance to the Queen, and he says, I'm a Muslim. How many Muslims have imitated the kafar in their dress, in their appearance? You see, Muslim men wearing big gold chains on their necks, bracelets gold, earrings gold, ankle bracelets gold. You guys see in Oxford Street. And yet they say we are Muslim. And they're wearing gold chains, gold necklaces, gold jewelry. Isn't it a contradiction? You say you're a Muslim, yet look at you. You're a Muslim and you're wearing gold? How can you be a Muslim when Allah says do not wear gold? It's the ring of fire on a day of judgment. And yet you say I'm a Muslim? How can you be a Muslim when you're wearing gold? How? You say I'm a Muslim, I love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I love him. Wallahi, you're a liar. You are a liar. You love the dunya more than Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A'udhu billah. What about the ladies who have unveiled themselves, worn tight clothes, or veiled themselves, but yet they are naked, with tight clothes, miniskirts, tight pants, makeup, perfume, and they go out to work? She is doing nothing but resembling the kafirah. That is an absolute resemblance of a non-Muslim lady. And yet she says, I am a Muslim. Nasrallahu al-afiyah. Nasrallahu al-afiyah. Be warned, O husbands. Be warned, O fathers. Be warned and warned and warned. You are responsible for your flock. You are responsible for your daughter, for your wife, for your sister. You have to do to the utmost of your ability to prevent your woman from mixing with other sexes. Don't say she has to learn, get a degree. How dare you allow your daughter, your wife, to go and mix in university with all the men, a male teacher, men surrounding her, and you say that I care for my daughter. She's going to get destroyed. She's going to get hurt. You are putting her in the corruption. Beware and beware. Speech. How many Muslims have imitated the kuffar in speech? You see Muslim brothers today, instead of saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, hey, again, bro, it's going down. As soon as they meet each other, "Oh, bro, it's going down. How's the day? Good day." Do we not? Are you going, dude? Or, you get this a lot from the Arabs. "Now, salam alaikum. Salam alaikum." That's his response. What response is this? Or they give you the handshake, the twivel, this, and then they go, this. That's their greeting. This is the imitation of the kafar. Our greeting is As-salamu alayka ya habibi ya akhil aziz. Wa alayka as-salam ya akhil kareem. How beautiful is that? Salam alaykum ya ikhwa. What does it mean? Peace be upon you. What's this hang on, bro? What's that going to do? There's no meaning in this. Allahumma staan. Others who imitate the kuffar by their conduct, by their attitude, by their habits, tradition, celebrations. We forgot the celebrations. How can we forget celebrations? Alhamdulillah, Allah reminded me. The celebrations of the birthday parties, the celebrations of Christmas, the celebrations of Easter. Don't forget the Easter bunny. Don't forget the bag at the Easter show. MashaAllah, they take the whole family. She's full of niqab, veiled, head to toe. You cannot see nothing. And she's got her daughters there, MashaAllah, all veiled, beautifully, look at Islamically. And they're going on to the Easter show. They're going to the Easter. There's nothing wrong with the Easter, they say. There's nothing wrong with it. What's the big deal? There's nothing wrong with it. Do you know what the origin of the Easter show is? It's built on a religious concept. Kufr. Wallahi. What about Valentine's Day? What about the anniversary of marriage? What about Mother's Day? Father's Day? What about Anzac Day? Australia Day? You cannot miss these issues. They're celebrations. We live in Australia, they say. We live in Australia. What about the Mardi Gras party? Wallahi, this is not a joke. This is not a joke. You know how many hijabis were seen attending the Mardi Gras party? Wallahi. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. This is filth. How can you attend the worst filth on the face of the earth? Don't you fear that Allah might put an earthquake underneath them? These filthy, dirty people who are not worth the earth. Ya Latif. A'udhu billah. And the thing I don't like saying most, but I cannot hide it, the shaving of the beard and the growing of the moustache. The shaving of the beard and the growing of the moustache. Always when I say this, the heads flop down. There is no compromise. This is another imitation that we are witnessing. A lot of Muslim men, unfortunately, are shaving their beautiful hair that Allah has created them with from their faces. You know each hair how much is worth of reward? This one single hair? You know how much reward is in this? And you know how much sin is in this when you shave? Every time you shave. The clipping of the moustache and the leaving of the beard, wallahi, brothers and sisters, is a characteristic of the futara, the human nature. It is the guidance of our beloved Prophet ﷺ. And all the prophets had beards, all of them. All the righteous men had beards. It's a symbol of handsomeness, of dignity, of honor. It's a symbol of being different from the non-Muslims. Don't you come and say, for example, they have beards. Yes, but they do not clip their beard moustaches. They have beards. They have big beards. But they have big moustaches. That's why he said to us, contradict yourself from the non-Muslim, grow your beards and Trim your moustache. How many Muslims have imitated the kafir by building around their graves? By placing lights on their graves, whitewashing, which is decorating the graves, placing or planting a palm tree in their grave, or the even tree itself. The big trees, you've seen them, haven't you? By placing photos, flowers, inscriptions, waiting over them, by erecting huge tombstones on them, by placing statues on them. I went to the Rookwood Cemetery not long ago, and I witnessed a double dragon, this little statue, like a miniature thing, on the grave. And there were many of them. You see the Christians and the Jews, especially the Christians, they place angels, like so-called angels, the image of an angel there. You find it on the Muslims' graves at the moment. This is not right. You see the Muslims stepping, sitting on the graves. It's haram to walk over a grave. You can go next to a grave and seek mercy for that person in the grave. But you do not go sit on the grave, on his grave, or walk over that grave. It is haram. How many Muslims have made their graves as a place of worship? Meaning, they go every year, especially in Eid day. Every single Eid, you see the Rookwood Cemetery chock-a-block. Straight after the Eid prayer. They all gather there and they think it's the best time to worship the grave. And we know in a lot of subcontinental countries, and in Asia, and in South Africa, and in the Middle East, where there are a lot of men on the doors of the graveyards who actually direct the person that this person is a wali, he's a wali, he's a wali, he's a wali, and he gets paid for this. So when the person is informed, the one, the visitor, that he's a wali, that person, the visitor, goes and starts circumambulating around the grave, believing that he's going to seek blessings, aid, need, or whatever from this person in the grave, because he's a wali. And this is everywhere. This is everywhere. How many Muslims have been buried in coffins, imitating the kafir? How many Muslims have imitated the kafir by allowing their laws, their rules, their sharia into the Islamic countries? And this is known and is very vast. Very, very vast, Ya Azad. Very vast. Those rulers of the so-called Islamic countries, as we all know, have pushed, have diverted, have strongly driven away the sharia of the Almighty Lord and replaced it with the sharia of the devil. The sharia of the devil, whether it is English, French, or the United Snakes of America. Replacing the sharia of the Almighty Lord with the sharia of the Khanazir. Wallahi. أَفَحُكْمَ الْجَاهَلِيَّةِ يَبْغُونَ وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حُكْمًا لِكَوْمٍ يُوقِنُونَ. Do they then seek the judgment of ignorance? And who is better in judgment than Allah Ta'ala, for those people who have firm belief? Some examples of this, I'm pretty sure you all heard of a man called Faraj Boudi, or Fodi, really his Fodi. Faraj Fodi, he was one of the most notorious callers to secularism in Egypt. He blatantly said, very, very explicit, I am simply against the implementation of La ilaha illallah in Egypt. We should eradicate it, he said. Obliterate it. Either right away or gradually. And then he said, my opinion, very, very sort of boastful, my opinion is very, very crystal clear. So the Jama'at al-Islamiyah, Allah yahfazhum, approached him and said, embrace Islam. Accept Islam. He only increased in hatred, enmity towards the Muslims, towards Islam, believing that the Egyptian regime will safeguard him. A couple of days later, he was assassinated. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ He was assassinated by the Muslims. وَلِلَّهِ الْحَمْدِ We all know Jamal Abdul Nasir. I'm pretty sure you all know him. If you do not know him, Allahu Musta'an, you're not into politics. Jamal Abdul Nasir, another hypocrite. And you know why he's a hypocrite. He was one of the leaders of the military coup in Egypt. He joined the Communist Party under the name Morris. His name is Jamal Abdul Nasir. He joined the Communist Party under the name Morris, while at the same time he was one of the high-ranking members in the Ikhwan movement under the name Zaghlul Abdul Qadir. While at the same time, the shaitan was working for the CIA in order to overthrow King Farouk, so the influence of the American Khanzir law will be influenced in the region. He wrote a book called Al-Mithaq Yathakab Ra'afto. A book called Al-Mithaq. In that book he wrote that all Muslims have equal rights. A lady is equal to a man. Then he said, this Khanzir, A'udhu Billahi Min Al-Kalima. He said that the shackles that the lady wears, the one that hinders her from her free movement, must be destroyed. Because she cannot support the man in every perspective, he said. The shackles are things that are tied with still sort of embrace, where, you know, you capture people, if you tie them on like a chain, you know, the chain draggers, you've heard of them? We won't go into it too deep. But they're the ones that had the chains on their ankles, and they were convicts. And we call them the chain draggers. So the shackle is what a chain dragger is. Then, he was likewise assassinated. Walillahi alhamd. And we all know another one from Egypt called Jihan As-Sadat. Jihan As-Sadat, who was a female, who was the wife of the late president known to be Anwar, and wallahi manu nur. Anwar Sadat. What did she say? She said, I am against the hijab. Why? She goes, because they frighten the children. Frighten the children? When she was asked, why do they frighten the children? She responded, because of them, of their peculiar, their strange and weird appearances. Thus, she said, because of my position as a university teacher, I will expel every single woman that comes into my classroom with hijab, I will take her by the hand, she said, Ash-shaytana, and tell her, you are not welcome in here, your place is outside. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And her husband is no better. Anwar said that. Anwar said that. What did he say? He insulted the woman, the hijab, and he said it looks like a walking tent. He said it looks like a walking tent. And he said that I've imprisoned many mashayikh. He was making a mocker out of it. A shaykh by the name, rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh al-Mahlawi, very famous shaykh. He was imprisoned when he asked Anwar to implement sharia in that country. So he placed him in prison. Then he said, very, very explicitly, he is in prison like a dog. استغفر الله العظيم، والله ما كلب إلا أنت يا أنور، والله لا كلب إلا أنت. And we all know حسني مبارك، حسني مبارك، الله حسني مبارك، حسني مبارك. But the reality is there's no حسن in him, no مبارك. His name should be لا حسني ولا مبارك. No good, no blessed. Because حسني means good and مبارك means the blessed. What good is in he and what blessed is he? He said in a CNN interview, he said, Islam was for the past and it has nothing to do with the future. This is his wording. This is the man that people say, Allah yahfaz husnu bibarak. Yahfaz what? For what reason? He's destroying Islam? That's secularist? Allah yahfazhu? Allah yahdi. Not Allah yahfazhu. On that path, never. And we all know, Kamal Atatürk. Kamal Atatürk, who was the leader of Turkey. And he was the son of a Jewish man. He joined the Freemasons. And we all know Freemasons are a Jewish-run organization. They are a Jewish-run organization. And a lot of them enter that, a lot of them, the Freemasons, they enter Islam, which is in a hypocrisy way, so they can destroy Islam within. He was one of them. This Kamal person was one of them. He demolished the Khilafah in 1924. Thus, he ordered the unveiling of the lady, he ordered the destruction of a lot of mosques, the destruction of a lot of Muslims, and he made that country since that time corrupted. And until now, Turkey is, as it was then in 1924, corrupted. Nasr Allah al-Afiyah. Algeria, we all know Ahmed ibn Billah, who after independence in 1962, he was the first president. As soon as he set foot as a president, he commanded straight away the unveiling of the ladies. Straight away. And when the FIS were elected, and this is a party that were in the political arena, Muslim party, when they were elected, they wanted to implement Sharia. So he straight away intervened, this Ahmed ibn Billah, and captured the leadership of the FIS, thus tortured them, imprisoned them, and then he banned Islam from the political arena. Shaykh Ahmadu Abulu from Nigeria, Allah yahfazhu yirhamu, he was a leader, an Islamic leader in Nigeria. He was a famous Islamic leader. He was assassinated for two things. When he said to the government, I demand that you implement Sharia, and I demand that you send troops from the government, army, to liberate the holy city of Palestine. As soon as he said this, they executed him. Allah yarhamu wa nusra Allah an yamuta ala al-shahada. Wa nusra Allah, and he gets more of those men. Where are they today? Where are they today? Where are the men that go and call the mashayikh? We have leaderships that go and call unto their governments and say, we must liberate the holy city of Palestine. Where are these people? Where are these people? Benazir Bhutto. Benazir Bhutto. She was a Pakistani leader, and we all know her. She led Pakistan in 1994. A female leader. when she was kicked out and exiled. And she is to this day fighting to reassume the leadership. We all know this lady. As soon as she entered politics, the Muslim, the Pakistanis, we all know Pakistan people, civilians, Allahu Akbar. Believe me, they're hardcore. No mucking around of them. They're hardcore. As soon as she entered, the people went against her and started saying to her, we want Islam. She sent hundreds and hundreds of troops and killed and injured many of them, breaking down mosques, corrupting the Islamic lifestyle. And she is famous for her saying about the Islamic law for the cutting of the hand of a faith. She said, this is barbaric. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. Wallahi, if she dies on that path, wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah. What is the difference between her and Musharraf? Any difference? No difference. Isn't he a secularist? Is he the one that allowed those into their land, into his land? And there they shot at Afghanistan from his land? Allowing those devils into the land to fight the Muslims? And Musharraf? And Musharraf means what? The honored? What honor has he got? He gets his dog on the screen and starts patting him like that. Wallahi anta kalb mithlu. No difference, seriously, no difference. Hada Musharraf. Whether she comes back to power or he stays, no difference. They're all imitating the kafar. In Morocco, some girls were expelled from the school because they were wearing hijab. So King Fahd II issued a fatwa, mashallah, alim al-an, he's an alim. He issued a fatwa saying, no girl is allowed in school of hijab. What's your evidence, ya King Hassan? What did he say? He said, my own daughters don't wear hijab. That is my evidence. My own daughters do not wear hijab. Thus, no one wears hijab. In other words, are those girls better than my daughters? A'udhu billah. A'udhu billah. Abdul Karim al-Kabariti from Jordan. He's the Prime Minister of Jordan. He defies all Muslims. He even implemented the teaching of Christianity in all public schools. His name is Abdul Karim. What a beautiful name. Allah, he does not deserve that name. Wallahi, he does not deserve that name. He should change his name, wallahi. Because it's an insult that his name is Abdul Karim. Al-Baghdadi in Kuwait. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billah, what Kuwait is. And now forget Jordan today anyway. What's his name? Kil Abdullah? King Abdullah? Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. Allahu musta'an. Is he American or is he Jewish? Or? Something like that, isn't he? Anyway. Now he's talking about this person. Kuwait al-Baghdadi. We don't want to take too much of your time. Almost finished, inshallah ta'ala. There's many more stories, but time has beaten us. Al-Baghdadi from Kuwait, he opposed Islam, rejected Islam. He criticized al-Khulafa al-Rashideen, and he said, Islam has failed to establish a successful political system. And this man considers himself at the same time as a Muslim. Iraq, Libya, Syria. We all know they are al-Ba'athiyya, al-Ba'athiyya, the sect of nationalism, who said that Allah, a'udhu billah, from this saying, died. And they say our religion is no other than the Arabic nationalism. And there is no other religion. This is their belief. And this is what the country is run on. Do not get deceived. This is what their country is run on. Libya, Somalia, Egypt, many other countries. You know how many torture chambers is prepared for those who practice Islam? I had brothers who stayed with me, my classmates, from Libya, from Somalia, and from other countries alike this. They were in their university, they were very scared to finish, to graduate. Why? As soon as they hit their airports, they will be taken to the torture chamber and be tormented in the worst manner. And the majority of them never ever come out of it. Only because they are implementing the Quran and Sunnah. And wallahi, this is happening to this day. How many Muslims have been caught praying Fajr in Egypt? In Egypt, Fajr, captured and tormented. Because praying Fajr was an extreme act, they said. How many Muslims were looked at the foreheads? And if there was a mark of prostration or a mark where the ankle is, they were captured and tortured due to the repeated prostrations and prayer. Brothers and sisters, our aim as Muslims is to establish the law of the Almighty Lord in ourselves and upon every inch of this earth. We must learn and teach our children the qualities that distinguish you, O Muslim, from the non-Muslim. We must teach our children, ourselves, warn against those people who call themselves progressive Muslim, O modernist Muslim, O social Muslim, O liberal Muslim, O secular Muslim. These are all paths to evil. There is no such thing as progressing Islam. Islam is one, you are a Muslim and no other. It does not advance as time goes on. We must implement La ilaha illallah. We must implement Al-Wala'u wal-Bara'u and fee no one but the Almighty Lord. We must understand and realize that the non-Muslims will never ever be happy with you. Never. No matter what you do, how you do it. Until you abandon your religion and go to their religion. We are witnessing, dear brothers and sisters, the atrocities that are being perpetrated towards the Muslims worldwide. Wallahi, we can hear the agonies and their cries of those people whose homes, properties have been wrongly occupied and seized. Wallahi, we can hear and we have heard in Bosnia, Kosovo, Burma, Indonesia, Kashmir, the Philippines, Afghanistan, Palestine, the cries of those babies. The cries of those babies as the devil's shells are being dropped on them. Oh, because they say, La ilaha illallah. Oh, because they say, La ilaha illallah. However, walillahi alhamd, we ask the Almighty Lord to strengthen our hearts. And that we die only on La ilaha illallah. That we die on, Wala tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. And inshaAllah ta'ala, we die on this. And wallahi, we will never ever surrender. We will never ever submit. We will never ever give up this beautiful deen. We will never ever surrender to an authority other than the authority of the Almighty Lord. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.